meeting of the Senate Finance Committee will come to order. It is Wednesday, March 16th, 2011. And before we start, we'd like to introduce our new fiscal analyst that we have on board for hopefully a long time, replacing Matt Mossman. And maybe, Brent, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, my name is Brent Gustafson. I started 2 weeks ago with the Senate Council Research and Fiscal Analysis staff, assigned to this committee as a lead fiscal analyst for the Senate. Excited to be here, and I've been around the capital and state budget issues for quite a while. I spent 11 years at Minnesota Management and Budget, but have been gone for about 2.5 years, most recently worked as a budget director for Dakota County, but I'm excited to be back on state budget issues and excited about this opportunity. Look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you, Brent. We're excited to have you too. It was a challenge working without a fiscal analyst for a while, so we're really happy to have you. And today we have on our agenda Senate File 225. Senator Peterson will be presenting.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair and members. This is Senate File number 225 relating to manufactured home inspections, alternative design plans, and reinstallation requirements. Our hope is to be able to move this bill directly to the floor after this hearing. What this bill does is it really is an effort to save the state and the taxpayers money. You'll see that in the fiscal note that it's significantly over $200,000, and really makes sense when it comes in terms of inspections. One of the main parts of this bill that attracted me most is that it would drive the inspections of this particular type of housing back to the local level and the local building official. And the guest we have today is Mr. Bruner, that's going to be testifying on behalf of the Minnesota Manufactured Homes Association, and I would like you to hear from him.
Mr. Bruner.
Hi, Madam Chair. My name is Mark Bruner. I'm with the Minnesota Manufactured Housing Association. We represent the builders or the plants of manufactured homes, modular homes, as well as the manufactured home communities, lenders, and others. We're pretty much the umbrella organization for the industry in Minnesota. We've got 8 plants that currently build homes in Minnesota. All 8 build modular homes. 4 of the 8 plants build manufactured homes. And the difference between the two is that a manufactured home is built to the federal building code or the HUD code. Modular homes are built to the state building code, in that they're the same code as a site-built home would be constructed to. And as a part of the federal building code, the Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry has a contract with HUD, and they essentially administer the code in the state of Minnesota, which requires that every manufactured home in the state that's installed or put on a foundation system needs to be inspected in a code area or a non-code area of Minnesota. So the way the program currently works is that if they're in a code area of Minnesota, in a city or a county that enforces the state building code, those local building officials go out and do those inspections in their code area, in the non-code areas of Minnesota, which is actually the largest in terms of land mass in the state and is where most of our homes are sold and installed. The Department of Labor and Industry does those inspections. And in 2007, the industry built about 4,000 new manufactured homes in Minnesota. The Department of Labor and Industry projected last year that they would only see about 500 new homes this year in terms of their inspections. So the issue became the inability for them to really go out and inspect so few homes in terms of their economies of scale, the fees they were able to charge in the past versus what they were doing just a few years ago and be able to do these inspections. So in an effort to try to address that issue in terms of funding and their ability to do the inspections without the fees having to increase. The number was significant. I mean, it would go from $80 to about $2,000 in terms of meeting the their current requirements. So what the bill does, and the department does support it, is empower or allow local building officials who currently are doing these inspections in the code areas to do these inspections outside of the code areas, you know, maybe 5-10 miles outside of their city, whatever, versus having the department having to drive from St. Paul up to non-code areas, you know, near the Canadian border kind of thing to do those inspections. So that required a law change in order to accomplish that. And that's really sort of the core of the bill, along with allowing third-party firms who are currently doing inspections as well in municipalities that have adopted the code to do those inspections outside of the those code areas currently.
Well, thank you, Mr. Brenner. Does anyone have any questions? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a comment. The testifier here is testifying on behalf of the manufacturers, and I appreciate his testimony. And when I saw this bill coming up, I called a retail seller of manufactured homes in my hometown. It's called Excelsior Homes. And I asked him about this bill and told him what it was about. And this constituent of mine who owns this business wholeheartedly supports this bill. And he does so because... as he explained to me, the paperwork that is necessary that goes into the permitting is considerable, and he sends it right now off to the state of Minnesota, and it takes up to 3 weeks for the state of Minnesota officials to react to that paperwork, and that costs him a lot of money. And so what he likes about this bill is it runs it back to the local level, lets the local officials who are actually doing the inspection handle the permitting and gets his business moving forward at a much quicker rate. So I will tell you that from the local retailer's standpoint, this is a good bill, and I will support it, and I thank Senator Peterson for bringing it forward.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to Mr. Brunner, Section 2 regards alternative frost-free design plan. Now, in Minnesota, we have some issues with frost. Obviously, I think the footings for requirements of the footings or the general rule of thumb is 4 feet. Is that what we're talking about here? Before the footings are poured, because of the frost problems we do have in Minnesota, what exactly does number section 2 there address?
Well, what, Madam Chair, Senator, what it does is essentially ensure that a local that the local building officials or departments who right now could approve a local design or a alternative design to for a foundation system would have that ability and that approval would be done within 10 days. Currently under the federal building code, the manufactured home foundation has to meet the requirements of what the builder or the manufacturer of the home requires in terms of a foundation system so that there aren't any warranty issues or violations, so that if the frost requirements aren't met, that then that would or could affect the warranty. The federal code does allow for an alternative design for a foundation system, provided that design is stamped by a licensed professional engineer or architect, which is currently the practice here in Minnesota. So what this does is just clarify that that the design you know will be approved by the local or the state within 10 days.
Thank you,
Mr. Brunner. Is there any extra cost to the local units of government that won't be recovered by the fees that could be charged?
No, Madam Chair, the way this is intended to work is that the fee structure that the local building inspector applies right now for the inspections done in the municipality would be applied outside the municipality as well as any travel time, and no municipality is required to do the inspections outside of their governing area. So it's something that a municipality could do if in the case, for example, Senator Newman of your retailer, that local unit of government there in, I think it would be Litchfield, would be able to do inspections for Excelsior homes in non-code areas if they chose to. They could go outside the code. Currently, they can't do that. But there would be no additional cost to the municipality, and that they would recover any travel time or expenses.
Mr. Bruner, I was just reading on the fiscal note here. It said that the fees will not cover their expenses. But they're not required to do the inspections if they don't want to travel outside of their jurisdiction?
Madam Chair, yes, that's correct. For the inspections outside of their jurisdictions, they would not be required to. Currently, under the state building code, they are required to do the inspections within their municipality, but this would not require them to go outside the municipality. It would just enable them to or allow them to.
Are the fees currently set in statute, or would the municipality have the ability to increase the fees if they agreed to do the inspections outside of their jurisdiction? Would they have that ability so that those inspections could occur? Or if nobody wanted to do them, how would they get inspected?
Madam Chair, the fees are set in terms of what a municipality can charge for inspections within the state building code. Those would apply in this situation. Now, if no municipality wanted to do those inspections in the non-code area, Dolly has told us, because they have the agreement with HUD, if something a home could not get an inspection from a local insurer, they would continue to do those inspections on an as a need basis. They are also moving forward and having third party approved inspection firms do some of the inspections on behalf of the state. So those inspections would still get done either by Dolly or the third parties that are approved by Dolly to do them.
And is this is required when they move a home too? It's not just the new homes, but whenever a home is reinstalled?
Madam Chair, that would be correct. If you are relocating a home, putting putting a new foundation under the home, and then those homes too would be inspected.
Are there any other questions, Senator Magnus?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Anything we can do to support Minnesota jobs in this industry is not seeing bright times right now. So I think anything we can do to support this and the 10-day turnaround, I like. So, Madam Chair, I would move Senator Peterson's bill, Senate File 225, to pass.
Senator Magnus moves that Senate File 225 be recommended to pass to the floor, and we do have a quorum. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Any further discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? No. The motion does prevail. The bill will be moved to the floor. And members, we had another bill on the agenda that got pulled, and so this is our only agenda item today. I'm sorry to get you here so early, but the last time I tried to move the meeting to a later time, people were confused, and we just decided we'd stay at 8:30. But we do have a busy schedule coming up for next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And so Friday is our reserve day, and we will be using that probably starting at 10 o'clock. I think we will be having session that day too. So depending on the session schedule, but we will be planning on meeting on Friday next week as well, so 3 days next week. And we may even have an evening meeting or two. You might want to plan on that. It's going to be a very busy week. Senator Newman?
Madam Chair, Health and Human Services has been meeting on Friday mornings, and I anticipate that will continue. So I just wanted to let you know that Senator Hahn isn't here, so that we can be in both places is the only thing I'm saying.
We'll see what we can do to accommodate schedules, but once in a while we get some overlap at these deadline times.
Well, this, I'm sorry, Senator Madam Fishbach. Chair, Senator Newman, Health and Human this Friday. I don't know if he's scheduled it for next Friday or not yet, but I know this Friday it's at 8:30. And so right now we won't overlap, but it's a possibility. You may get your exercise running up and down the stairs, Senator Newman.
There be no further business before the committee. Our page. Our page, Allie, I just wanted to thank her for her service and congratulate her. She has been hired as Senator Newman's new legislative assistant. So she will be leaving our committee. But thank you, Allie, for your service. With that, the meeting is adjourned.